guys. I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Is it Bruce Dickinson?
Man, why? I mean, like, you read the list. You're like, Heather.
Hey, guys. I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
What I need you to understand is that you have lost all credibility when we get to the cutting stage.
Why?
Kenny Chesney was your second pick.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
My picks are great. And if you don't believe it, just ask me. I won't argue with you because I'm mature.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And we want to welcome you back to the Music List Podcast. My name is Ben. With me are my sisters, Beth and Heather. And we are siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the shtick. That's what we do. And we have one of our favorite, the very best of episodes coming here today.
Who's favorite?
No. What am I? No.
You said one of our favorite, very best of episodes coming up. You saying that style is one of our favorites?
Yeah. You okay. Know, like where we take a band or an artist, and then we're going to stick with that one.
Yeah.
And this particular artist, I mean, if you were going to do a Mount Rushmore of country music,
woo,
it would be hard to leave him off.
Yeah.
And it's Garth Brooks. And I know Heather's over there like, yeah, but here's the thing about Garth Brooks. This dude owned the 1990s in a way that I don't think any other artist has ever owned a genre.
Yeah, I know, no doubt. No doubt.
I mean, if we were to go down the Garth Brooks accolades, he's the only artist in music history to, not country music, in music history to release 9 albums that were certified diamond. The Beatles held the previous record at 6. Mm-hmm. He's won Entertainer of the Year like 75,000 times. And then, you know, when you look at his awards in the 90s, I mean, he won almost everything. The only person that comes even remotely close to him in country in terms of album sales is Shania Twain. Mm-hmm. And she's a distant second. Mm-hmm. And then the distance between Shania and number 3 is bigger than the distance between Garth and Shania. I mean, his success in the 90s was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely absurd. And this kind of fits into my wheelhouse because this was when I was listening to country music heavily. Now, my favorite artist is Alan Jackson. But I love Garth Brooks too. And he's in a lot, in my opinion, he's caught a lot of unnecessary flack about the influence of pop music in country music. I think he is unfairly labeled with because number one, and I was having a conversation about Garth Brooks with my best friend Wesley Folds, who may be the biggest Garth Brooks fan I know. Alan Jackson, Travis Tritt, Shania, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, they owe a lot of their money to Garth Brooks. Because if we don't have friends in low places, country music doesn't get popular again. Garth Brooks put country music back on the map as a major mainstream popular genre. It was not a very, I mean, country music fans liked Keith Whitley in the 80s, and they liked Randy Travis in the 80s, and they liked George Strait in the 80s. But it wasn't until Garth Brooks came along and had Friends in Low Places and followed it up with the Thunder Rolls, that now the floodgates were open, and now we're playing country music at proms.
Yeah.
And we're playing country music at junior high dances. And we're having a lot of crossover success into the top 40s. And so when you look at the impact that, I mean, Garth Brooks has made not only himself a lot of money, but without Garth Brooks, I probably don't even know who Mark Chestnut is, honestly.
Right.
And so his influence on country music and where it is today, they're probably still making money off of Garth Brooks. Now, as far as the pop thing is concerned, I've always blamed Tim McGraw, Shania Twain, and Faith Hill more than anybody because they started doing remixes. That's a bad sign for country music. When they start doing dance mixes to play on the pop station, that's not good. And here's a funny story about Garth Brooks and Beth. Beth did not call CMT CMT.
That's true.
When Beth wanted to turn on country music television, she said, I'm watch Garth.
Yep.
So I am a big Garth Brooks fan. What's your relationship like with Garth Brooks music?
Me?
The two of you. Oh. Open it up.
I love Garth, obviously, as you just stated. I grew up listening to him. I was a CMT, GAC, whatever we had on the cable, whichever country music station we had on
CMT
the cable.
It was CMT when you were little.
Yeah. So growing up, that's what I would turn on every night when I went to bed, mm-hmm. was just country music videos. So I would go to sleep and wake up to country music videos when I was younger. So during that time, I grew up in the 90s, so Garth was on a lot. And then kind of forgot about him, but just didn't actively listen to him for a long time. Then I got into pop music and stuff. And he wasn't making, I guess, a whole lot of music in like the 2000s. He had that Chris Gaines phase, which I didn't get into.
Weird.
I went to see him a year or two ago, I guess. I was able to see him at Razorback Stadium. And I was in, when I say the nosebleeds, there was only one row of seats behind us. We were at the tippity top of Razorback Stadium. And kind of behind the stage, like the stage was sort of circular, but like I've never seen a concert that was that engaging to people so far away. He was an aunt to me, but it somehow still felt intimate, and he's such a good entertainer, and kind of rekindled my appreciation for him. But I've always liked Garth. It's going to be tough to rank these because it's one of those things. It's like it kind of depends on the day which song I like better than another one. So I tried to get more objective with it, but at the end of the day, it really just kind of came down to preference on the day I wrote these songs down. So we'll see how I feel right today. Heather?
I do not dislike Garth Brooks' music. When I was a senior in high school, I had a copy of No Fences, and I listened to it. I remember sitting there typing papers and stuff, you know, and so I knew every song on it. You know, I listened to it a lot. I liked it. And then past that, I don't think I had another Garth Brooks album. I mean, I knew what was on the radio. I don't know how to say this.
Just say it.
I appreciate who he is as an entertainer. I think he, not to take anything away from him as an entertainer and his influence on popular music. There is something about, I don't think as far as the, you know, singer, he's good. He's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is something about him about his personality that is very off-putting to me. And so that affects how I feel about his music, I think. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a weird guy.
I think the Chris Gaines thing bore that out.
Yeah.
I mean, that was strange.
That was very strange.
It was strange.
Because, I mean, like, he did it without people trying. He didn't want people to know it was him. I mean, like, they were like
they didn't. You know, like, yeah. They wouldn't figure that out.
And he was, like, sucked in his cheeks, you know.
And he had that emo haircut.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, that was weird.
And the little soul patch.
Oh,
yeah, it was not a good look.
But even that wasn't it. That's not it. I really dislike watching interviews with him because there's just an ick factor.
Wow.
You get the ick?
Yeah. And like the humble brags. Yeah. And his personality when you.
But how do you avoid it? With when you've got all the accolades,
well, and that could be that could be, you know, he's just kind of like, well, I'm just this simple guy from Oklahoma, and then we start talking, and then he starts crying,
yeah,
and I'm like, you just stop, and then I turn it off because I don't, yeah. You know, but if he just sings his songs. That's fine. Now, he did, I always, you know, I've said before that Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton made me hate Christmas, but he did a Christmas special. I think it was the year of COVID.
Oh,
yeah. It was like a live. It was shockingly bad. And that upset me. And then I watched on the recommendation of my boss. I watched this show that he's got where he built this bar in Nashville. Nashville's my favorite town. It's my favorite town. I was like, oh, new place. Cool. The place looks just amazingly cool. Mm-hmm. And next time I go to Nashville, I'm sure I will go to his Friends in Low Places bar. But it was a documentary, you know, like a series about him building it and designing it and everything. And I did not enjoy him in that either. I don't want to watch him talk. If he just sings, yeah. I'll listen to his music and stuff, but his personality is off-putting to me. So, that being said, I picked 3 songs that I like, but I'm not super emotionally invested in them, so.
Well, here's what I think. Most people, if they're being honest about Garth Brooks, would agree to. He's not a great vocalist.
Right.
I mean, I think most people, like, if I was going to, out of the 90s, I mean, he's probably not in the top 10 vocalist in country music. I mean, like, guys like Joe Diffie and Ronnie Dunn don't get the whatever that they deserve. I mean, Joe Diffie was good. I mean, he, Ships That Don't Come In, that is an incredible vocal. He's not a great vocalist. He is probably the greatest concert in the history of country music.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Now, and he's a good writer.
And and he has phenomenal songs.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
You know, I mean, and to an extent, that's kind of, it's kind of similar to Tom Petty. Tom Petty's not a great vocalist. Mm-hmm. Right. Dude's got great songs. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is, you know, Garth Brooks has the great songs. And when it comes to an entertainer, the only person that really, that I have seen, okay, two that come close, or maybe possibly exceed. I mean, they're in the same ballpark. The Kiss live performances are a show.
Yeah.
It's pyro, it's big lots, it's makeup,
yeah.
It's, you know, Stanley floating above the ring, or, you know, on his foot in a steel ring. Mm-hmm. Flying over the stage. I mean, it's a spectacle. Kiss concerts, a spectacle.
It is a spectacle.
And today, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. The production.
I've never seen anything like
that. You know, I haven't seen her live, but we watched the Eras Tour with my daughters, and the production value in that is just
crazy,
incredible.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much money they spent doing the LEDs and all that. I mean, it's just, not to mention the wardrobe changes are ridiculous. Yeah. Right. But Garth Brooks is in that same entertainment value deal. And along the way, I mean, when you own a decade, like he owned country music from 89 to 2001 or 2002, you're going to have a bunch of songs that are really good. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we are. Now, I prefer probably that first half of the 90s because he does go more, as country's moving more pop, he goes with it for sure. And I prefer the more traditional country stuff, the No Fences album, the self-titled album, Rope in the Wind, In Pieces. I mean, you know, those early albums are probably the ones that I prefer. But be that as it may, and see, you may like the older stuff, the late 90s stuff, because you would have been 7, 8, 9 and not 3, 4, and 5, you know. So, you know, I would be interested to see if, like, your songs tilt more towards the end of the 90s and the 2000s. It'd be interesting to see. So, as we, if you've not listened to an episode of us before, the way we do is we're going to draft three songs. In round one, I will draft first, Heather will draft second, Beth will draft third. In round two, Beth will lead us off, then Heather, then me, and then we'll snake it, and I'll lead off the third round, and then Heather and Beth. And so we're going to get – and remember, okay, so these – let's be very clear about this. These are not the greatest Garth Brooks songs. You know, we have – and I don't know if this is always a conversation, but, I mean, it's kind of like if we did that with Led Zeppelin, Stairway definitely would have been one. But we did the best Led Zeppelin songs, and so we're doing – so, like, I mean, obviously – and I say this because, like, I'm not picking Friends in Low Places first, because that's obviously the most famous song that he's ever done.
Right.
And is, if we were going to do the greatest bar songs of all time, it may be number one. Like karaoke songs.
Yeah.
Like it's, if you stay at a karaoke bar long enough, somebody's going to do Friends in Low Places. Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. So, but this is the best. Garth Brooks songs, and I draft first, and I pick The Dance.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now, I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go.
All right, so, I mean, obviously the song itself is about a guy who obviously was in love with this girl and shared a dance. It's a very specific point in time, but it's obviously about the relationship. They broke up, and the point of the song is, even though I'm heartbroken and it hurts and I wish I didn't have to go through this, I'm glad that I had that moment, because living would have not been as fulfilling if I hadn't had that bump, even though it hurts like heck right now. Now, the video is incredible. It's amazing. They bring in Lane Frost, who was one of the greatest bull riders of all time, gets killed on a bull. They bring in JFK, gets assassinated. They bring in Martin Luther King Jr., who got assassinated. I think Keith Whitley is on the video. One of the great singer-songwriters of the 80s dies from alcohol poisoning. So, you know, the video makes it about a much bigger thing. Like, if we go and we do these great things, and sometimes those great things hurt us badly, but the idea that if we knew how it was going to end, would JFK run for president if he knew that he was going to be assassinated? But how important was his presidency? We went to the moon because of JFK, right? I mean, all these things, this, you know, the civil rights movement got progressed because of JFK. Think about Martin Luther King. If Martin Luther King had known that he was going to get assassinated, would we have had the March on Washington? Would we have had, you know, the Montgomery in Birmingham and all these things that he's known for? And so to be able to expand that with the video was incredible. But the song itself is a phenomenal, it's just an extremely, extremely well-written song, and probably one of his best vocal performances, honestly. I mean, because it is an emotional song, and he does a really good job of delivering it in a way that I think is impactful. And then it's just a memory of me as a kid watching this video and just like, wow, that is profound. Even as a kid, because this was early 90s. So I'm like 11 years old. And just even as a kid, like, that's deep, man, you know? And it is considered by many to be his signature song. Went to number one and stayed there for 3 weeks. Knocked off by Dan Seals' Good Times. Probably should have stayed on there 4 weeks. It was the hit single around the world. It was number one in the United States, Europe, Ireland. It hit inside the British pop top 40. Song of the Year, Video of the Year by Academy of Country Music. And it was awarded number 14 on the CMT's 100 Greatest Songs of Country Music in 2003 and was number 5 in the 100 Greatest Music Video Special in 2004. So it has the staying power that, what would that be, 15 years after its release, was still considered to be one of the greatest songs in the history of country music, not just his own, but in the history of country music, and especially within the country music video era, which we're out of now because really CMT doesn't play a lot of country music videos anymore. Neither does GAC.
No.
They have Dukes of Hazzards running and stuff like that.
And Golden Girls, weirdly enough.
Yeah. And I think maybe Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders on there, something like that.
Nowhere, I mean, wow. People still make music videos, but, like, there's not, like, a music video channel, really, anymore that you can just watch.
Oh, yeah, the Space Challenge, the Challenger is on the video.
Oh.
Like, come on, man. You know, and because, like, the Challenger explosion was a traumatic experience for me.
Yeah.
Because I was in school, and we, you know, they wheeled in the wheeled. Yes, that's right. Wheeled. W-H-E-E-L-E-D. Wheeled the TV in for us all to watch, mm-hmm. and it blew up right in front of our faces. Is that supposed to happen? Teachers are turning it off and crying, and we're like, oh, no. It was traumatic. That was a traumatic. And then it pops up 5 years later in the music video, and it's like, brings back all those horrible memories from first grade. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What was, Heather, what was your, I mean, obviously mine was 9/11, So your traumatic experience was a challenger, right?
Well, it was.
But I mean, like, obviously you lived through that too, but like in your 9/11, like when you're at school being like, what is this?
9/11 was probably more traumatic.
Yeah.
Than because I don't even know if I was old enough to like I knew, you know, that what were there 11 astronauts on the space shuttle? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how many people are on there. Maybe not quite 11. Mm-mm. But anyway, like we knew, but I don't know that I was old enough to process it.
Yeah.
You know, 9/11, mm-hmm. I was 21. I was old enough to process 9/11.
Yeah.
And that one stuck with me for a while because we saw the whole thing happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, you know, yeah, I was already teaching.
You know, I remember, not to get off on 9/11, but the first plane hit and everybody thought, what idiot flies a plane into a building? Yeah. Like, we thought it was a mistake. And then on live TV, we watched mm-hmm. the other one hit.
Yeah.
And we're like, nah, it's not a mistake.
Right.
The realization hit when the second plane hit.
Yeah.
And it's just that I still remember that sinking feeling
mm-hmm.
right here. Right below my sternum. I mean, I'll never forget that mm-hmm. feeling that I got.
Yeah. I mean, I was in fifth grade. So
that's old enough to.
Yeah. I mean, it was like just everything was really uncertain. Like, I just remember like people like, go get gas, go do all this, you know, and just like, what does this mean? What is this going to happen? There was so much uncertainty about, you know, I mean, it was crazy what was happening on the news in front of our eyes. You know, people jumping from skyscrapers and stuff like that. But then, like, what are the long-term effects of this? We don't know. We don't know what our life, we're so far removed geographically from it, but how is this going to affect us here? We knew it would. We just didn't know how. And our friend Cliff, who does the Tableside at 16th podcast, he was living in, like, close to D.C. at that time. And so when the plane was going down toward the Pentagon, mm-hmm. I mean, he said he like drove past the Pentagon every day to go to work at a church close there. And they talk about it in one of their episodes. You can listen to it. It's just really like sobering to hear like somebody who was close, like physically there. Yeah. But I don't know. That just made me, because I feel like, in America, we all have like this in our childhood, this experience or this time, unfortunately, of like terrorism or something like that. And I don't know, like for you, Heather, what that would have been.
I was in sixth grade when the Challenger exploded. And that was, I was working in the library at the time, and we were sent to go tell the teachers, like they weren't watching it, but we had to go tell the teachers to turn on their TVs and see what was happening. But before that, I was in first grade when President Reagan was shot. Ooh. And so to be a first, you know, you're learning about the election process, and we just had an election the year before. And so we had just elected this new president, and somebody tries to kill him.
Yeah.
And that was a scary time, because you just,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Those people seem untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but those two, and then I was already teaching when 9/11 happened, so.
Yeah. That was a weird tangent, but all that to say, Garth makes a really impactful video. Like, we've talked about him, I think, before, and his ability to make a really striking video, kind of like, you know, Aerosmith is known for their music videos. Garth is mm-hmm. has a tradition of really.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some amazing videos.
Yeah.
No doubt. Heather.
Which is a good segue into my pick.
Ooh.
It's The Thunder Rolls.
Also a great video.
Yes. Number one on the Billboard country chart.
Not a soul in sight. The city's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. Raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving in.
It's a video of a video.
Oh, like, why does the audio sound like this?
And the thunder rolls.
Okay, so we just talked about the Thunder Rolls not too long ago.
I think Thunder Rolls, if we ever do a Hall of Fame of the music list, I think Thunder Rolls has been mentioned
several times.
Yeah, it has.
So I like this song, obviously, because it's a dark, brooding mood. I like a good story song. And that may have been where it first got mentioned, was story songs, maybe. I either forgot or missed the conversation. So I was, when I was doing my research, I did not remember, like I say, or didn't know that this was first recorded by Tanya Tucker in 1988, but shelved until 1995. She did not, for her. And she didn't include it on her album. And so they said, well, this song doesn't need to be just sitting there. So Garth recorded it at the suggestion of his producer. She is originally the one that asked for the other verse to be added. And she ended up recording it with the extra verse, and they put the other verse in. I don't know when they put the other verse in, but
I don't know. But he only does it live.
Yeah. All That Remains, which is a metal band, they covered it in 2017. It really does lend itself well to a metal cover, but really, the only thing that they really changed was the instrumentation. He delivers there's a female singer as well, but he delivers the vocal in a similar way. He doesn't sound like Garth. His voice doesn't sound like Garth Brooks' voice, but the inflections, the timing, he pretty much delivers the vocal the same way. He doesn't change the rhythm much, and even has a little bit of that. There's this inflection that Garth Brooks has in his vocals. It's a little bit of a yodel, little flip that he does a lot. They even did that a little bit. But I think, for a lot of, I don't say this disrespectfully, I say this honestly, for people like me who are casual Garth Brooks fans that, don't necessarily take super deep dives into, his albums, like, I think this is probably a favorite of a lot of people. I think it appeals to a lot of people. It's a great song. It's a great story song. The chord structure and the melody is really good, and so that's my favorite.
I mean, well, Thunder Rolls, it's like Friends in Low Places came out first, and he had already had some country hits before Friends in Low Places, but Friends in Low Places, to me, was the one that put country music back on the map. And you can have that one really big hit that will be a crossover kind of a deal, but you will fade back into obscurity if you cannot follow it up. Mm-hmm. And he followed it up with Thunder Rolls.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, in order to sustain his popularity with not just country music fans, but with the American populace that were listening to popular music, and to put country music on a path to where country music would rival in a lot of ways rock and roll and later grunge and alternative in the 90s. Country had to have that follow up. to Friends in Low Places, and Thunder Rolls was the follow-up that solidified it. It wasn't like it's country song, but it's performed in such a way that it's interesting enough that non-country music fans could latch on to it and say, wow, that's a pretty good song. Friends in Low Places was a fun song.
Right. And he follows the formula that a lot of people, that, you know, you come out with this, you know, party song or hard song, and then usually your second song is your power ballad. And he just kind of did a dark twist on a power ballad kind of, you know, I mean, it was slower in tempo and stuff. It wasn't a love song or anything, but
Friends in Low Places could have easily been done by Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's a country drinking song. Yeah. Thunder Rolls could have been done in a lot of different genres.
Ways. Yeah,
you know, and they didn't make it overly country and twangy. And you know, like, I don't think there's like steel guitar or banjo, those things that, you know, give it a very like traditional country sound or not in Thunder Rolls. I mean, it very easily could have been done by, you know, somebody like, well, I mean, anybody almost. Yeah. I mean,
he added the thunder sound effects and everything, and kind of went a dramatic direction with it instead of a more country direction, I think.
But I mean, I could like Don Henley was doing solo stuff at that point. So I mean, like he could have done, like, you know, just somebody like that. I mean, it could have not could have been done easily by some.
But like now I could see a band like Disturbed or something like that, you know, taking it on and doing something with it.
It's a good song. There's no question. Yeah. Yep. No question. And I think Beth gets a pick here.
Yeah. All right. My first draft pick is 1991's Rodeo.
Texas, just to change the way
there's that flip.
Well, she knows his love's in Tulsa, and she knows he's gonna go. Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood, it's that damn old rodeo. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood, it's a dust and mud, it's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white in his knuckles, the gold in the buckle, he'll win the next go round. And the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing rodeo.
So this song was originally written for a woman to sing, and nobody would take it. And he had heard it, and he said that, so Garth said he was like going around and like asking everybody, like all the women singers, you know, like, you need to do this song. Somebody needs to do this. It's a great song. And nobody was taking him up on it. And he was like, maybe I should do it. And he said I went all over town trying to get it cut. The song was called Miss Rodeo. It was written for a woman to sing and nobody would do it. He said, I crawled on my knees to Trisha Yearwood and said, please, you've got to hear this song. And she said, Garth, I'm sure it's perfect, but I don't understand the song because I'm not from that part of the country. And he said, she's from Georgia. So like, I mean, and that's the thing about why it's kind of like I Can Still Make Cheyenne by George Strait, like in the same thematic sense, right? The rodeo man is always gone, and that puts a strain on his relationships. And so it's a peek into life of that rodeo guy. He ended up doing it. And so rodeo is written, like the rodeo itself is like a mistress. So it's like an emotional conflict. And so one of the later verses, a broken home and some broken bones is all he'll have to show for all the years he spent chasing this dream they call rodeo. And so because the lyrics capture that physical and emotional demand, I think, like, cause we didn't live the rodeo life. A lot of our people we knew people who rode horses and did rodeo showing and stuff like that, or rode barrels or whatever. But I've never been to a rodeo. We have a rodeo arena.
It's cool.
But like, I've never been to one. I know people really like to go watch the rodeo, but I just never got it, right? But even though I'm not that kind of, like, that's not my scene, people like me can get the story and feel the weight of that conflict and be, like, immersed in this experience of the chorus because he's using all these, like, pieces of rodeo to encompass, like, to give you that feel of the rush that these people get. It's almost like, well, I can kind of see both sides of the story, right? Like, you know, I can see why he's obsessed with this, how that can be exhilarating, but also see that it's like, this is a dangerous thing. And obviously the person that you love and you like your wife or whatever would not want you to, would have a conflict about you living this kind of life. And then, like musically, that has that driving rhythm and energy, so which is a different from the chorus where the woman is trying to like fill that space in his life. It's a little bit more laid back and empty. And then the chorus hits and it's so freaking catchy. And it's like, ooh, I love this. And you're like, I get why he loves the rodeo. So it's a musical backdrop to the description of all those elements of the rodeo he just can't let go of. I like it when the music purposefully accentuates the lyrics like that.
And another song that is about the same topic, but it's very, very different, is Cheyenne by George Strait.
Yes.
So, which, you know, it's same topic.
Mm-hmm. But very, very sad.
But a very sad song.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, the woman is basically trying to say, she says, oh, well, I won't even be here when you get back. And she's wanting him to say, oh, no, I'll come back. And he says, oh, well, that's sad.
If I hurry,
I can still make Cheyenne. Because he was going to come back. And she's like, no, don't even come back.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, well, that sucks. Well, I bet I can make the next show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so, it's totally different, but it's about the same topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned this. Because one thing I don't think people that don't listen to country music, or even maybe people that do listen to country music, they don't understand that, you know, it used to be called country and western. And they are, in a lot of, two very different things.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why I gravitated to Alan Jackson, where some people gravitate more towards Garth Brooks and George Strait. George Strait, Garth Brooks sing more about western things. Rodeos,
yeah.
Horses. I mean, like, one of my favorite Garth Brooks songs is Wild Horses. Keep Dragging Me Away. I mean, that's, like you said, in Arkansas, we're country. We're not western. So Alan Jackson was singing songs about drinking at the lake and driving pickup trucks, mm-hmm. which that was a lifestyle that my friends were very familiar with, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of us gravitated, like particularly me, like I could identify with Chattahoochee mm-hmm. more than I could songs about the rodeo mm-hmm. because, you know, while I had been to a rodeo, I didn't ride horses, you know, maybe at family farm once or twice, you know, but yeah. So, I mean, you know, and then, you know, there's that line in Blues Brother, we play both kinds, country and western.
Right.
Well, that's because
they are
different. Two different topics.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I kind of wish that somebody like Kathy Mattea, though, had gotten a hold of this. I mean, I think, like,
yeah.
I can see her.
Oh, yeah.
It would change the whole song.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I can hear her voice, mm-hmm. you know, giving the song what it needs.
Yeah. All right, I get another pick.
You sure do.
All right. So my second pick, so I know you asked at the beginning you thought I would trend late 90s. Not so much. So Rodeo was 91, and my next pick is from 1989, If Tomorrow Never Comes.
That's the first album, right?
Sure.
Cause if tomorrow never comes. Wish you know how much I loved her.
the she in this song could be a wife, could be a daughter, but basically, if I died tonight, would I have shown her, this person I love, how much I loved her? Will she know the extent that I of the love I have for her? Have I done enough? So it's a reflective song. Well, that didn't. That there's a reflective song. That's Cisco. That's something else. reflective song with themes of love, mortality, the importance of expressing your emotions while you have the person here with you. And you know, it's relatable. I think if especially if you ever had a big loss in your life, of those like regrets of looking back, like, did I do enough? Did that person really, like, not that I'm the one gone, but they're gone, and now I don't have a chance to express how much I care about them, and did they know? You think about those missed opportunities. But it's simple, but universal. Don't take your loved ones for granted. And he delivers an expressive vocal. It's vulnerable, tender, sincere. It's got this gentle melody and acoustic arrangement, and it creates this intimate atmosphere where you can focus on the lyrics and the message of the song, which that's that country tradition of truthfulness in storytelling. And I think he does a really good job of that in this song.
I mean, it's a great song.
It is a great song.
I don't really have anything else to add.
Really good song. I don't have anything else to add. That was good. All right. Heather.
Okay. My second pick is from No Fences, 1990. Number one on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart for 30 weeks at number one. It is Unanswered Prayers.
Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. 'Cause some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
So this is a song came from a story that actually happened to him. He really did run into his high school girlfriend at a game with his then wife, and he had really thought that this he said for the first 2 years, even after he got married, that, you know, he had thought he was supposed to have been with this other ex-girlfriend that he ran into, and then he realized that the path that he had taken was actually the better one for him. And I mean, they're clever lyrics, you know. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And he said, he quoted, "Happiness isn't getting what you want, it's wanting what you've got. Until you want Trisha Yearwood."
Goodness.
I mean, that didn't really age very well, that song. But, the sentiment is a good one.
Well, this album is maybe, it is my favorite Garth Brooks album.
Mine too.
I mean, the first song is Thunder Rolls.
Yeah.
That's how the album starts. But Two of a Kind Working on a Full mm-hmm. House is on this album. Victim of the Game is on this album. Friends in Low Places is on this album. Wild Horses is on this album. Unanswered Prayers is on this album.
Is Papa Love this, Mama on this?
No, that's later. That's In
Pieces. In Pieces, maybe?
Maybe. Victim of the Game,
Victim of the Game is
good. I mean, same old story, Mr. Blue, New Way to Fly. Gosh, I mean, I knew this entire album word for word.
Yeah.
Just an incredible album. Incredible album.
Yeah, he evolved a lot. I mean, his early stuff does center so much. I mean, his ballads anyway are so introspective, and you know, The Dance and this song and If Tomorrow Never Comes, and he certainly, his focus turned outward a lot more as he progressed. I think, you know, right. Like his ballad type songs, you know, like The River, and I mean, like,
then he started doing some like kind of half political, mm-hmm. you know, like Standing Outside the Fire and yeah. We Shall Be Free. I mean, he starts to use his clout as
issue song,
you know, but you know, like just think about this album. I mean, so you've got these. You've got like The Thunder Rolls, which takes on domestic abuse and alcoholism, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, those are obviously very serious topics. Victim of the Game, which is really, you've outplayed yourself, is what mm-hmm. Victim of the Game is about. Unanswered Prayers, you know, which is a ballad we've discussed here. And then there's these play songs that are just fun. Friends in Low Places, Two of a Kind Working on a Full House. You know, I mean, it's just a really good album. Mr. Blue's even a fun song. Not one of my favorite songs on there, but like I wouldn't skip it.
Yeah.
Just a good album. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Now I want to go listen to it again.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah.
It's probably in my old CD case, unless you took it out of my...
No, I might have done that. I did steal your albums while you were working at KFC. Maybe we should take this. Garth, if you listen to this, ever, if anybody on Garth's team, please do not tear this down, because Garth, we know, is very protective of his songs. Just because we use it, even though Heather said some bad stuff about you, Ben and I really like it.
But we really should be copyright protected. I mean, we are copyright protected because we're offering commentary on the songs.
Yeah.
We should. Anyway,
you're next.
Yay. Okay. So I don't even know if this is one of his best songs, if I'll be honest with you. It's just one of my favorite songs. And it's Shameless. I'm shamelessly like this song.
You know it should be easy for a man who's strong to say he's sorry or admit when he's wrong. I never lost anything I ever missed, but I've never been in love like this. It's out of my hands. I'm shameless. I don't have a power now. I don't want it anyhow, so I gotta let it go. I'm shameless. Shameless as a man can be. You can make a chosen one.
Georgia.
That's where it all went downhill. So this was off Rope in the Wind album, which at this point, this was probably the height of his popularity. He could have farted in the studio and made a number one hit record at this point. It could have been Breaking the Wind, and he and that album would have gone. Would have gone number one. I just thought of that. That was good.
That was good.
But Shameless was originally a Billy Joel song. Did not do like super duper for him. Peaked at number 40 on the Hot Adult Contemporary chart. Garth Brooks took it to number one on the country charts. Apparently, Billy Joel liked it because he performed with Garth Brooks at Central Park. He allowed him to do Garth Brooks to sing the song, and then they did New York State of Mind together. And this was in – they performed this song together when Garth Brooks was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And Billy Joel was the one that inducted him into that. So this was between the dance it's between Rodeo and What's She Doing Now. Which What She Doing Now is also a really good song. Didn't make my list, but it's a really good song. But I like this. This is a little bit different of a vocal for him. And it's probably because it wasn't written originally as a country song. And, you know, like some people really don't like this song. Like some people like, I really don't like Shameless. And I understand that because it is different than his other work. And he does utilize more of that stuff in his voice.
Yeah.
But to be fair, so does Trisha Yearwood. So she uses that a lot. She uses that.
So I don't feel like she uses it as much as somebody like Winona.
Well, that's for sure.
But I mean, I don't know. But anyway, it's not that's a Trisha Yearwood sure. podcast.
Tell you what somebody called Winona after the
podcast. Yeah.
But I personally really like the song. It's obviously well written because it was written by Billy Joel. And he doesn't write bad songs. Often.
Not very often.
Not often.
Anyway, that's what I got on Shameless.
Okay.
Next pick.
Is yours.
Is mine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll pick again. How about that? This one's fun. Have we had a fun Garth Brooks? Like just a real fun one?
No.
Rodeo's kind of fun.
Rodeo's fun, yeah.
Rodeo. This one's funner.
Okay.
This one's funner. It's funnier. Anyway, Papa Love Mama.
Yeah.
Well, it was bound to happen one night a year. Papa came home and it was just a skit. He had a dozen roses and a bottle of wine.
If he was looking to surprise us, he was doing fine.
I heard Mama up and down the hall. Then I heard a bottle break against a bedroom wall. That old diesel engine made an eerie sound when Papa fired it up
and hit it in the town.
Oh, the picture in the paper showed the scene real well. Papa's rig was buried in the local motel. Desk clerks and he saw it all real clear. He never hit the brakes and he was shifting gears.
I love it.
Mama was a looker, Lord, how she shined. Papa was a good mother, jealous kind. Papa loved Mama, Mama loved me. Mama's in the graveyard, Papa's in the pen.
That's fun.
That is fun. It's
good times were had by all.
But yeah. It's also dark.
Yeah.
Right?
A little bit.
It's just it is what it is. But I mean, like just the hit. He wrote some songs about adultery, didn't it? Writing was on the wall. But, you know, Thunder Rolls also, obviously. But interestingly, this did not hit number one. This was a weird, this was an anomaly. It only got to number three for him. This is off of the Rope in the Wind album. But it's just so fun. Like, and I debated so much between, I wanted a fun one. I wanted in my, in, you know, and so I debated so much whether I wanted this one or Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up. Ooh. And I finally settled on this one. Because I think the conclusion just had a little bit more closure to it.
It did that.
Because in Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up, they're riding off again. And so we don't, is she in trouble or not in trouble? Dagnabbit.
I think she's perpetually in trouble.
Yeah. But she was in trouble when she took off again. I mean, like those parents didn't do a very good job of grounding her.
No.
But mom is really dead. I mean, she's dead.
Really dead.
There's closure there.
There is closure. Yeah.
Anyway, fun song, and that was my pick for the third round.
Okay. Well, I picked a fun song as well.
Fantastic.
Wow.
But I didn't realize that it was a cover. But anyway, it's Colin Baton Rouge.
Oh, I do like this.
In Pieces, 1994.
And going out on the highway, my thoughts are still there. Such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Strange situation, stopping in my house, coming back.
This is live.
Yeah. In general, so you know, the harmonies and tempo, it's just a fun song. It was originally recorded by the Oak Ridge Boys in 1978.
Wow, I did not know that.
I didn't know that,
yeah,
but I can hear it now that it makes sense.
You know, it's just it's fun, it's up tempo, it's fun to sing along with. I mean, it's a kind of a tongue twister, you know, it's just upbeat and feel good. And however, this is the pregame song for LSU football and the runout song for LSU baseball, so you can actually cut it because now I hate it. So I don't care what you do with it, to be honest.
Well, and we had two truck driver songs back to back. Isn't this song about a truck driver?
Yeah.
It's on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. Garth transitioned from horses in the very early
to horsepower.
To and then he gets on a river.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about boats.
Which would transition to my next song?
No.
It would. It's a fun song.
No.
Boats are on the water, and water is at the beach. And my, are you done?
I'm done. Yeah.
My third pick.
I thought it was going to be the river. I was like, whoa.
No. But my third pick is also a fun song. It's Two Pina Coladas.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Here's your late 90s pick from me.
So bring me.
gosh, that flip.
Let's set the sail with Captain Morgan. Oh, we never leave dry land. Hey, troubles, I forgot them. I buried them in the sand. So bring me two Vina Coladas. She said goodbye to her good time and man.
So basically, this man with the blues turns on his TV and he sees a person saying that heartaches are healed by the sea. So he heads out to the beach and basically is double fist drinking his troubles away. So it's different than a lot of Garth songs, you know, that we've been talking about. It's lighthearted, playful. It evokes that carefree beach feel where you can just let go of whatever is going on in life and let the wind and the waves do their magic. Like the last time we went to the beach, I'm like, oh, this song, wind blowing in my hair. I've turned off all my work notifications. You cannot reach me if you tried. Thank you. It's a great sing-along song. It's catchy. It was just a good time singing this with however many people fit in Razorback Stadium, just at the top of your lungs. Yeah, I don't know the numbers, but yeah. So it's just, it's a good time.
80,000.
I think it was supposed to be like the largest music event or largest concert Arkansas had ever had, I think.
Well, and because like at a concert at Razorback Stadium,
they can use the field
yeah. for more seats. So
yeah, it was a.
Probably getting closer to like 87, 88 maybe.
But it was a good time to sing this with 80,000 plus of my closest friends and Garth. But yeah, so that was a fun one, and we all took our third picks were all kind of fun. How about that? All right, you want to hear them? We got all nine.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Let me do that. Ben has drafted The Dance, Shameless, and Papa Loved Mama. Heather drafted The Thunder Rolls, Unanswered Prayers, and Colin Baton Rouge. And I am Beth, and I have drafted... I'm sorry. I'm a delusional right now. Rodeo, If Tomorrow Never Comes, and Two Pina Coladas.
All right. So just some of the songs that we did not select. And obviously, there's one glaring omission, and it is Friends in All Places.
I'm surprised.
But again, you know, that's why we have to preface. We're talking about the best songs, not necessarily the most known. Or because if you did like what is the greatest Garth Brooks song of all time, it's Friends in Low Places, and it's not close.
Right.
You know. So in my opinion, but it's not the best song. Right. But it forever changed the landscape of country music.
It's a fun song.
For sure.
But I wouldn't say it's my
for
best.
Sure. So songs that I did have that on my list, but it was seven.
Me too.
Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up was on my list. That Summer, which I know has problematic.
Benjamin.
I know it's problematic.
It is.
I put it at 8 so I wouldn't get it drafted. But it's a good song. That's it. We drafted the rest. I'm really surprised that there was that much overlap because, there's a ton of number one hits that we did not come close to hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Heather, did you have some extra ones that went on?
That didn't get drafted.
Yes.
Two of a Kind, Working on a Full House.
Oh, I love that song.
The River. Mm-hmm. And I did put Friends in Low Places at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I felt like it needed to be mentioned, but I knew it wouldn't.
Yeah, I had it at 7, and then I also had Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up, and then my 9th was Standing Outside the Fire.
Mm. And, you know, I'd asked Wesley, shout out to Wesley T. Fold out there somewhere in podcast land, because I knew he was a Garth Brooks fan, said, hey, send me your 5 favorites. And his 5 were If Tomorrow Never Comes, Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old, which is a really good song. Unanswered Prayers, Papa Loved Mama, and then kind of an off-the-wall selection, One Night a Day. And I, when he called me about it, and we kind of talked about it, and he said, well, what are your lists? And I told him, well, my number one's the dance. That's mm-hmm. number one on my list. And he said, oh, wow, I totally forgot that one. He said, yeah, that's in my top.
Yeah.
But so it's weird that even though, like, he had so many freaking hits, I mean, just this huge collection of hits, we still more or less congregated on, out of our nine,
yeah,
about seven that were all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, when we look at Led Zeppelin, when we did the Led Zeppelin, we were all over the place.
Yeah.
And Garth Brooks, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable saying Garth Brooks had more number ones than Led Zeppelin. I would have to look. I mean, I'd have to go back and look that up. But, I mean, and almost certainly had more top 40 country hits than Led Zeppelin. I mean, not, I don't mean country, but I mean,
yeah.
No, but I mean,
top 40 hits in your genre.
Led Zeppelin had.
Yeah, rock hits.
Yeah, rock hits. So, really interesting to me that we kind of settled on roughly the same seven, and we each had like two or three maybe that weren't. I mean, I actually put 11 on my list because I couldn't cut two.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I had 10 and 11. I had Unanswered Prayers and Call 'Em Baton Rouge. I was like, I'm not going to not put these on my list. So we do have nine songs, and now we have to cut what we've got. We're going to go from nine to five.
Working 9 to 5.
So I don't know what the best way to do this is. I feel like, you know, we kind of settled on a lot of songs that are the same, but I feel like our orders are going to be very different, which is going to make this maybe more difficult than if we had picked a whole bunch of different songs. So if we're just looking at the list, the first pick was The Dance. I obviously had it number one.
That was my number one also.
Heather, did you have The Dance on your list?
I did. Let me look. It was my number two.
It was number two. So I feel like it's going to go over.
Yeah.
The second pick was Thunder Rolls. I had Thunder Rolls at number nine.
I had it at three.
It's probably going to go over. I would say that there's a really good chance that it's going to make it. I mean, just looking at the list, I feel really confident it's going to come. It's going to end up going over. Because y'all two are going to want it to be over in the top five, for sure, right? Because it was your number three?
Yes.
And it was your number two?
One.
It was your number one? Thunder Rose was your number one?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like y'all are going to have... You're not going to come down off of it to being in the top five, are you?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like I said, at the, you know, like...
Well, that's true. You did say.
You know, on that day... I was like, yeah, but now, like, some of these I forgot about.
All right, we'll put it in a holding cell.
Okay. we love a holding cell.
Rodeo was the next pick. Beth, that was your pick.
Yeah.
Where was that for you? Was that your
third? It was number two.
It was number two, and it was number five for me. Did Rodeo make your list? Mm-hmm.
Seven.
Oh, gosh. Put it in a holding cell. Great. If Tomorrow Never Comes, that was my number two.
Oh. Five.
So everyone had it in their top five. I would feel comfortable going ahead and moving that over into the top five.
Okay.
All right. The next pick was Unanswered Prayers, which was one of my... what do you call them? Honorable mentions, my number 10. Did you have Unanswered Prayers, Beth?
I didn't.
I really like Unanswered
Prayers. But also, no, I'm like, I really like it. I just didn't think about it.
I feel like I'm probably the only one that had Shameless on the list.
Yeah, I didn't have that one.
Okay, so that's not going to go over. Because, I mean, it was that pick was so bad to Heather, she scrunched her nose when...
Oh, yeah. You don't like the way he sang in that one. Is that right?
I like Billy Joel's version better.
Blasphemy. Yeah. Papa Loved Mama. Did anybody else have Papa Loved Mama?
No.
That hurts. touched my soul.
Again. I just didn't think about it so much.
Calling Baton Rouge. I had Calling Baton Rouge number 11 because I had two honorable mentions.
I had it at 5, but I didn't know it was a cover.
Does that matter?
It kind of does. But I sit here and I'm like, but if we ever did like a Reba episode, I wouldn't want to not episode. Yeah, this is an episode. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to not put Fancy.
I wouldn't
want to
not put Fancy or not the last one out in Georgia. So I guess I need to come off that.
I'm willing to cut it just on the basis that they use it for LSU sports.
I mean, I guess if you're wanting to cut it, you can.
Put it in the holding cell.
Okay. Because I do really like that song.
That's how much I hate LSU.
I did not have two pina coladas on my list.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't figure.
So we have 3 spots remaining. And how many in the holding cell?
3.
Is it that easy?
I guess it is.
You still got to rank them.
Yeah, but I mean, did we put unanswered prayers in the holding cell?
No, I didn't. But we could.
I feel like putting it in there. To put it in the conversation.
Okay, so now we have 4 in the holding cell, 3 spots. So now we have to cut 1, I guess we can say, of. I want to do a check-in. So I don't want anybody to be like, wait. So that would cut Papa Loved Mama.
Which...
That's what that would be. The rest of them, all 3 of Heather's are in the holdings. And then mine, because nobody else had 2 pina coladas. So, yeah. So if that's...
So
if you want to talk about just the ones in the holding cell.
Okay, just the ones in the holding cell are which ones?
The Thunder Rolls, Rodeo, Calling Baton Rouge, and Unanswered Prayers.
Okay, well, I mean, Thunder Rolls, y'all both had it in the top 5. I mean, it's going to go over. I mean, almost certainly Thunder Rolls is going to go over. Don't you think?
Sure. I don't have a strong feeling.
It was your what? Number
1.
It was your number 1, and you had it number
5.
So, I mean, there were 2 top 5 selections there.
Okay.
And so then we also have Unanswered Prayers or...
Unanswered Prayers.
Calling Baton Rouge.
Or Rodeo.
Or Rodeo. I had Rodeo in the top 5. You had Rodeo in the top 5. Mm-hmm. I feel like Rodeo should go over.
I really like it.
Heather, do you agree?
Yeah, it was 7 for me.
Oh, okay. So that's not a stretch at all.
Okay.
And now we're down to Unanswered Prayers or Calling Baton Rouge.
Two very different songs.
But I like them both.
I know.
I like them both a lot.
I mean.
Oh, man.
Calling Baton Rouge would give us another fun one. Because... It's real serious.
It would, but it is a cover.
Yeah,
I mean all that's things. True. I mean, like, I don't think that would keep stuff like Fancy or whatever. I mean, I think all things being equal, I would probably rather choose one that he wrote. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't really care. Like, I mean,
I like both.
I like
of
them both.
So.
They're about as different as you can get.
They are
very different.
I mean, I would. The more I think about it, the more I like Unanswered Prayers. But then again, I don't know if it's because I just remember the strength of that album and just wearing that CD out. No, it was not a CD. That was cassette.
Well, we could defer to Wes. Did he have either one of these on his list?
I'll read you his list.
I can't remember.
If Tomorrow Never Comes, Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old, Unanswered Prayers, Papa Love Mama, One Night a Day.
I think we could the big Garth Brooks fan, I think we could. I mean, I would feel okay saying, well, that's what he picked.
I'm fine with it.
All right.
Now we got to rank them.
Okay. So, our top five Garth Brooks songs are The Dance, If Tomorrow Never Comes, The Thunder Rolls, Rodeo, and Unanswered Prayers. I feel pretty strongly about The Dance being number one, but I don't know if that's...
Well, me too. I mean, I drafted it first overall. It was my first... And I mean, like, honestly, If Tomorrow Never Comes was my number two. I mean, so, like, if it were me, that would be the one,
and two. Okay.
But where did you have The Dance?
Two.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's
the math is math.
The math, that right there.
Okay.
And Heather, did you have If Tomorrow Never Comes?
Mm-hmm. It's five.
And then, but you, Thunder Rolls was your number one. Mm-hmm. I had it nine. And where did you have Thunder Rolls?
I had it three, but I don't.
That's pretty high.
But now I kind of don't. But I had, but it was, well, technically I had that before If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Did you have Rodeo?
Uh-huh. Seven.
Because that was my number two, Rodeo. But I...
Well, I mean, Unanswered Prayers got in by the skin of its teeth, so okay. We could probably put it five, right?
Sure.
And so then our options for number two then are Thunder Rolls, If Tomorrow Never Comes, or the
Rodeo.
And as much as I like Rodeo, and Rodeo may be my favorite Garth Brooks song to sing. It's just fun to sing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that rodeo ho. I love it. But, I mean, if I'm going to be honest with myself, I don't think it's as good of a song as Thunder Rolls. So, for me, number two should boil down to Thunder Rolls or If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And... even though I had Rodeo number five, but that's just because I love to sing the song. Like, if Rodeo comes on while I'm in the car, we cranking it up.
You're
to
all
11.
Getting a concert.
Yes. So for me, it should. If I were the dictator, If Tomorrow Never Comes would be two, Thunder Rolls would be three, Rodeo would be four. That's how I would mark it.
I mean, it's not how I would put them, but I can.
How would you
put it? I can get down with that.
How would you put it?
I would put If Tomorrow Never Comes, Rodeo, Thunder Rolls. Even though that's not how I had them in my main list.
And you would probably have Thunder Rolls too, because it was your number one.
Right.
What would your number three be? If Tomorrow Never Comes or Rodeo?
Probably If Tomorrow Never Comes. I think that's how I had them. Yeah, I had If Tomorrow Never Comes at five and Rodeo at seven.
So we would all put If Tomorrow Never Comes at two. Is that what we just did?
Well, she would have Thunder Rolls at two.
Oh.
Because that was her number one overall.
Oh. I missed that.
Okay.
But I can be.
Because you care so much about this episode. Like,
well, I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to waste a lot of time just arguing over something that, I mean.
Wait till we have the Van Halen episode.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
Man, I could be a real menace just
because. Yeah.
Just anyway. All right. So, I mean, do we want to.
I like all the songs, so I'm not.
I mean, I could agree with Ben's. I've heard the Thunder Rolls to me is like almost old hat,
because it's so, I've heard it so much now that I'm like, but these other ones are really, I mean, there's a reason for that. Yeah, sometimes the, yeah. I don't know. What do you,
I mean,
what
do y'all want to do? I think that there's two of us that are pretty well in the camp that If Tomorrow Never Comes should be the second pick. Mm-hmm. So I think we can go ahead and put it in the second pick. And then we're determining whether we want Thunder Rolls or Rodeo to be three or four, right?
Yeah, but I think at this point that's been determined because you would put Thunder Rolls ahead of Rodeo.
I would.
And so would Heather. Mm-hmm. So that's what we will do.
So we got a five. We got a top five in order.
That's a pretty solid list, really. Yeah, and it's one of those things, like kind of like with the Eagles list. It's like you can't have a bad list, really, because all the songs are good. Mm-hmm. So our final ranking, the best Garth Brooks songs. Number one, The Dance. Two, If Tomorrow Never Comes. Three, The Thunder Rolls. Four, Rodeo. And five, Unanswered Prayers.
Heavy on the ballads.
So Wes will have to tell us if we did it right.
Yep.
If we did a good job.
Yeah, and he will. Be very honest, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I would expect no less.
Hey, we want to thank everybody for listening. We're going to be back in two more weeks. Until then, find us on social media. Once again, we're going to be on Instagram, Facebook, X, YouTube. Like, share, comment, follow us, interact with us. We would love to hear your ideas for some good episodes. We would love to hear from you guys. Do you agree, disagree? Let us know. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
For joining us on the Music List podcast, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
She almost had it.